Yes, the theme of the camp is, For Ye Serve the Lord Christ. So I'll open up to Luke chapter 22. We are servants, and the Bible frankly says, if you're wondering, we serve the Lord Christ. It doesn't say that we serve money. It doesn't say that we serve property. It doesn't say that we serve sport. It doesn't say that we serve music. Whatever, it doesn't say that we serve golden frogs gizzards or something like that. It says we serve the Lord Christ, okay? If you're wondering, we serve the Lord Christ. So a few scriptures about that. Luke chapter 22. And the good thing is we have the Bible to help us to know how to serve the Lord Christ. So Luke 22, we've got here in verse 24, Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. And there was also strife, well, there was a bit of an argument among them, being the disciples, the apostles, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he, being Jesus Christ, said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I'm among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus Christ here says, look, as part of being in his kingdom, we are to serve. We are to be like the younger, the lesser, which is completely the flip side of the way we are normally trained, like in the carnal aspect, where we have kings and queens and we have like bosses and mayors and so forth, chiefs, as it says here, that they exercise lordship. But in the kingdom of God, he wants us to be like the younger and to serve, which is quite different. But what he's saying here as well, and we'll read another one later, another passage later, that if we do that, the consequence of doing that, being the servant and following the example of Jesus Christ, is that he will then place us on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's he that will then raise us up to be in chief places. It's he that will raise us up to be in a position of authority. So it's like we have this attitude of service and being younger and humility and being contrite in these things, and then we rely on the Lord to then lift us up. John chapter 13. So there's a consequence. There's a promise that if we follow the irrational, I guess you could say, logic of following the ways of the Lord, then he will do, he'll fix things up for us. So John chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 3. John chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Now that's important. We'll read another passage later as well that rounds this off nicely. Like Jesus knew. Jesus was so confident that his Father had given him all things. Okay? There's a knowledge there. Verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? So you can imagine this in a little bit of a circle, I guess, or around a table, and he's going one by one, washing each other's feet. And Peter being the bold and impetuous fellow that he was, said, "Nope, I don't want this. You can't wash my feet. You know, you are the Son of the living God." Verse 7. So this is talking about this contrary logic, irrational logic. "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He will have eyes to see and ears to understand. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Just wash the whole lot. You know, "Well, I've changed my mind now. I want to be a major part of you. Just wash my whole body. The feet's not enough. Immerse me in it." Verse 10, "Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you?" Here he goes, he explains it. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Great little conclusion there. Jesus is leading by example here and saying, look, you need to do this. Jesus will be taken away. And when Jesus is taken away, then us that are left here must continue and follow his example. And the consequence of that is, happy are ye if you do them. There's joy there. There's peace. There's comfort. And it's a wonderful example. I mean, it's a wonderful vision that we have, that when we come together, we wash each other's feet. You know, we do that. We serve others. And as the example of Jesus Christ here, we serve others in obedience to what our Lord Jesus Christ has said. And we know as well, and we understand that as we wander about, we leave here and we wander about doing our business, our feet get grotty. But as Jesus says here, you know, it's only our feet that needs to be clean. We are clean before the Lord. We don't need to be scrubbed clean. In that way, we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's just coming together. Our feet need to be cleaned. And we continue to follow his ways and serve the Lord Christ. Okay? Service attitude. And when we read about service and being servants in the Bible, it really is like being a slave. Okay? Very strong terms. It's like we do cut off our head to our Lord Jesus Christ and follow his ways and realize that, hey, the principles in the Bible, he led by example. It's not as though he was this far-off person that did his own thing and said, well, now you've got to do what I tell you. No, he actually led by example, like in this little story here. Over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And that's the wonderful thing. I mean, there's many wonderful things. One of the wonderful things about walking in spirit and truth, we follow a person who led by example. Now, person, it was Jesus Christ in the flesh, that person. He left so that the Holy Spirit could dwell within us. But as a human being, as a son of man, he left led by example. Philippians chapter 2. I've read this passage out a lot because it's very... very important, very powerful. And verse 1, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love," wonderful reassuring words to start out, "if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies." Okay, Paul starts out this little passage with these words. And it says and goes, look, everyone, please fulfill my joy. "That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, together, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Okay? as we read before, not lifting ourselves up, but realizing we are servants. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And that is illogical. That's contrary to what we want. But this is what the Lord wants us to aim to be like. Okay? What's so beautiful is that the Lord knows we'll always come short, but he wants us to aim for this. We've got the Spirit in us. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Okay, be like-minded, having the same love. Fulfill his joy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Who? Jesus Christ, who? Being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know we're the sons of the living God. We know that. We don't see it as robbery. You know, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit. We speak in tongues. We know we are the children of the living God. He's our Father. We don't see it as robbery, just like Jesus Christ didn't see it as robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So Jesus Christ, by example, became a servant and allowed himself to be killed. He was obedient unto death. And as a result of that humility, it was God that raised him up. God that exalted him, God that gave him a name which is above every other name. So as a man, Jesus Christ was obedient and humble and went to the grave. He then, through faith, understanding the purpose of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised up. And that's an example for us, as we know, a great example. He led by example. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. And he, being Jesus Christ, came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Okay? So in his flesh, as a carnal human being, of course he didn't want to go through this cup of suffering that he knew he had to. But then, in all humility, said, not my will, but thine be done. And we're so often confronted by this situation. You know, our head gets in the way, our feelings get in the way, our desires get in the way, contrary to what's in the Bible. And we have this mentality, say, oh, okay, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Okay, so many times it happens in our life, and that's that attitude of a servant. It's like, okay, Lord, you said it. You are God. You know better than I do. Not my will, but thine. Even though the way I'm looking at it, you know, it doesn't make sense to follow you and to be humble. Like, you know, people that have situations in work situations where they're sure, like if they just went through like a tornado and just cleaned up the place, you know, they'd make it all better. It doesn't make sense to be humble and rely on the Lord and wait upon him. It doesn't make sense. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm your servant. You are my God. John chapter 21. You know, we want this cup of suffering to be taken from us sometimes, but it's not my will, but thine be done. That attitude of the servant. John chapter 21. Oops, too far. John 21 and verse 15. So John chapter 21 and verse 15. We've got a little passage here, a little conversation between Jesus and Simon. And when we read this little passage, it's like Jesus is talking to the Spirit-filled church, because Simon Peter became one of the leaders of the Spirit-filled church. So this little conversation is like Jesus giving instruction to the future Spirit-filled church. So as I read that, think about it like that. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know, pointing to the other people that were there. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know, it's in service of our Lord Christ to feed the sheep. Verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So we know that this was a foretelling, and Peter refers to it in his own writings, that when his end was coming, he knew he was to be crucified. That's what Jesus was speaking about. But Jesus here is also speaking to us as a Spirit-filled church. You know, when we're children, we run about and we do things. And I remember my biggest worry was when I went to school, got off the bus, my best friend was there so I could play with him. So they're the biggest worries, you know, children have. They go off and do their own thing. But when we're old, we'll be taken places where we would not, okay? We'll be guided to places where we would not. We're following and we're serving the Lord Christ. And so it's like, oh, not my will, but thine, okay? And so so as we grow older in the ways of the Lord and understanding, there's opportunities that the Lord is guiding us to. We're places, we do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. You know, and of course we can look at your own lives now and the things that you see, the things that you do, like you're praying for people, you see miracles in your life and you see miracles in other people's life, you're spreading the gospel, you're taking places that you would not otherwise do. And it's that attitude is like, oh, not my will, but thine. There's that need there. You know, it says there'll always be a skills shortage in the kingdom of God. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And so that attitude of service and being a servant to the Lord Christ would be to be led to places where we wouldn't otherwise do it. It's contrary to logic. What? We're giving up all of what I have around me to do that? You know, in the carnal mind, it seems like folly. But what's the Lord's asking us to do? He's asking us to follow his ways and be his servant. He said it, right? I'm doing it. Again, it's not always that easy. I've thrown my own little tantrum a few times before the Lord, you know, because I want things done my way. But then at the end of the day, the Lord has his way and says, look, serve me, and then I will raise you up. We'll be raised up to dwell in heaven forever. Over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's a prayer of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And it's quite an act of faith to to have that service to the Lord Christ, knowing that the consequence of that is he'll lift us up. An act of faith. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and this prayer of David, verse 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. The reason I'm reading this out is wonderful clarity by experience. David has realized these truths. You know, the honor and the riches, they all come of God, and all the power and the might comes from God. And what's bizarre when we read this is whatever we have, whatever it may be, I mean, let your mind wander, whatever we have that we claim as ours actually came from God in the first place. So whatever we have, you know, materially and also abilities, you know, we are actually, what's it say there? For all, at the end of 14, for all things come of thee and of thine own have we given back to thee. So whatever we can give to the Lord is what he gave us in the first place. We will be nothing without the Lord giving us all things. And so when we serve the Lord, we're actually already in debt, really, because he's given us everything. We serve, I mean, we've been bought with a price. We know that. Jesus Christ died, that wonderful price, eternal salvation. But it says here that everything in heaven and everything on earth is actually the Lord's. And he gives these things to us so that then we can serve him with what's already his own. Get the logic there. It's an amazing situation we're in. It's not as though we're drawing from our own little reserve. Yes, thank you. That we created ourselves. It was all from God anyway. So we're serving our Lord Christ with things that came from him in the first place. Okay, and that mindset we so often forget. We're caught up in the rat race, caught up in whatever things that are going on, that ongoing battle between the flesh and the spirit, that ongoing thing, getting the balance right. And it is a balance. You've got to allow every now and again for the things of the flesh and then for the things of the spirit. It's a balance. But that ongoing battle, we can forget that everything we have is from God in the first place. And that's why he has wonderful authority to say, look, serve me. Please serve me. I've given you all things. Romans chapter 11, the penultimate scripture. Romans chapter 11. A little while ago, I got a message from someone who logged into one of the talks, and I threw them off because they were waiting for that little couple of words. So I'm sorry to who that person was. The penultimate scripture. Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Interesting little outlook there. It's like God had to view all people as being sinful and far away from God so that then he might have mercy on them all. We're all lost. So then he can show his abundant mercy upon all. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counsellor? Who can sit back and say, yeah, I taught God a thing or two. I told him how to do things. Nobody. Verse 35, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, we can't teach God anything. He made us in the first place to be in a place of peace and joy and love by serving him. He created us for that purpose. We are lacking if we don't do that, if we don't realize that we serve the Lord Christ. It's important for our well-being. He gets the glory forever. You know, and what's wonderful is how unsearchable are his judgments. Praise the Lord. As I said at the start, praise the Lord. We know that we're doing the right thing. What a relief. Unsearchable judgments, that trust that when he judges, he judges with clarity and righteousness and what's best for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so all these things, how can we scorn then? How can we scorn the judgments of the living God? Last one, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, be alert. Watch thou things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. It's like an angel, really, an evangelist. Messengers, that's what we are. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And when I read this passage, I think that, you know, at the end of our life, you know, we've followed as best we can the things of the Lord. We've made ourselves as best we can a servant of our Lord Christ. And we're in a position where the body's fallen to pieces and we can't do the things we used to be able to do. But you're in this place where you think, oh, I've fought a good fight. I've just seen some amazing things. I did the best I can. I finished my course and I kept the faith through all those trials and temptations, through all those distractions, come back to the faith. And then knowing that wonderful knowledge, there's this crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And so this is the aim, is when we get toward the end of our life, I've fought the good fight. I served our Lord Christ. And I was thinking this morning that often we see here testimony of, excuse the term, but the old people have been around for a while and seen some wonderful things, and there's always this amazing zeal as well, like this, that they love giving their testimony, that it gives them joy to give their testimony, and that it hasn't waned at all over all those years, and there's this comfort and peace, knowing that God's got it all in hand. And you can just tell that they're looking back and they're, I've fought the good fight. I'm ready for the Lord to take me, you know, by being a servant of the Lord Christ. And what a wonderful mindset that is. May not have everything materially, but internally, this wonderful peace, this joy, and this wonderful experience to draw upon and to be able to teach others and show others that, hey, it works. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. So it's important to look to the old people as well, their example. Jesus has given his example. People come along and follow that example. They get old. Then they are leading an example to others that are getting older and growing. And it's a continual thing, leading by example, that if we are servants, we bring ourselves low like the younger. We're contrite and humble before the instruction of the Lord. He'll lift us up and we'll have this joy, we'll have this peace, and we'll be in a place where we can say, I've fought the good fight and I've finished my course, and bang-o, I can't wait for that crown of righteousness. Okay, thank you.